Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sara, Malka Bat Allegra, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and elevating the souls of Helen Friedman, Lunita Adler, Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Rachel, Pesach Seb Ben Chava, Harab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Barry Hoffman, Dennis Shore, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects to discuss that we have to discuss on the program this week. I wish we could just concentrate a whole program on each one of them, and in the future that may happen. But both of them are so important that we're going to have to squeeze them in this week. The first is the prospect of President Kamala Harris. Chas v'shalom, chas v'chalila, God forbid, President Kamala Harris. A complete catastrophe, a nightmare beyond words, with her self-hating Judenrat Jewish husband. And the second subject is the disastrous agreement between Israel and the United Arab Emirates, the UAE, that was signed this week with the evil intervention of Donald Trump and, of course, the evil machinations of the evil leader, the evil traitorous leader of Israel, Binyamin Netanyahu, Shem Reshayim Yirkav, may the name of the wicked rot. We're going to start off by speaking about Kamala Harris. She will be the real president. She'll be the real president if the Biden-Harris ticket, God forbid, wins the election in November. Because Joe Biden is senile. He can't even complete, with difficulty, he tries to complete a sentence. He can't even complete a sentence many times. He forgot who was the president when he was vice president. Barack Hussein Obama Nation was president when he was vice president. He forgot even the name of the so-called president that he was serving under. And never knows what city he's in, what time of the day it is, what day it is, just complete in a complete cloud, in a complete other world. It's unbelievable that he is about to possibly win the presidency. According to the polls, he's going to win, God forbid. But of course, he would not be the real president. The real president would be Kamala Harris, his vice presidential pick. And that would be a nightmare beyond words. First of all, aside from the fact that she herself is a black Jew hater and racist, and will pursue a black Jew hating and racist agenda that will endanger Israel's survival, will endanger America's survival, and we're going to get to that. Her husband is an ugly, evil, self-hating Jew, the worst type of ugly, evil, self-hating Judenrat Kapo Jew you can possibly imagine. The Judenrat, by the way, and the Kapos were the Jews who cooperated with the Nazis to save their own necks and help the Nazis murder 6 million Jews during the Holocaust to save their own necks. And the ultimate Judenrat Kapo is her husband, a wealthy multimillionaire banker from San Francisco, who marries a Jew-hating, racist, schwarze slut named Kamala Harris. A slut who slept her way up the ladder. The first big job she got in the city of San Francisco is because she was sleeping with someone who was 40 years older than her and married, of course, with children and a family. She slept with every man who was willing to sleep with her and got promotions by doing that. By the way, women say, oh, this is a big achievement, the first woman. That's an achievement to have a woman who rises to the top of the ranks by sleeping with men, by being a prostitute, by being a glorified hooker, a glorified black hooker. That's an achievement for women. That's the feminist dream. And she has, as with her self-hating husband, she would be worse than Barack Hussein Obama, than Barack Hussein Osama was. Barack Hussein Osama, of course, who polluted the office of the White House for 8 years, was a catastrophic president. And very bad for Israel. He's the one who started the freeze. He and Bibi Netanyahu, those two started the freeze on Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, our capital, in 2009. And Barack Hussein Osama was a horrific evil president who supported Louis Farrakhan, the Black Hitler. He took a picture smiling with him, which we've shown you many times, and you can find it on the internet. And attended the Million Man March that Farrakhan, the Black Hitler, called in 1995. And he's a Farrakhan-supporting black racist and anti-Semite who did everything he could to destroy Israel. And he got a Secretary of State. First he got Hillary Clinton, a Secretary of State, a Jew hater. And then he got the other Jew hater, John Kerry, whose father was Cohen, whose father was Jewish, comes from a Jewish background. And so the self-hating Judenrat, John Kerry, did everything he could to destroy Israel. And the only thing that saved us, God miraculously intervened and gave us Arab Muslim Nazi enemies who rejected the so-called peace deal that Barack Hussein Osama was pushing, which would have pushed Israel back to the pre-1967 suicide borders that are 6 to 9 miles wide, the Auschwitz lines. But Obama did succeed, and John Kerry, the self-hating Jew, as Secretary of State, they did succeed in getting the Iran nuclear agreement, which gives Iran a reward for building nuclear bombs. Hundreds of billions of dollars in trade and assistance, trucks loads full of cash were being shipped to the Iranian Nazi regime, the Iranian Muslim Nazi terrorist regime, and everything possible to enable them to continue their nuclear bomb-making program. And that was under Obama and Kerry, the self-hating Jew. Kamala Harris, President Kamala Harris, God forbid, she would be the real president. And it would be even worse than Barack Hussein Osama, because her husband is a self-hating Jew, and these self-hating Jews want to destroy Israel. They want to destroy their own people. They're the worst anti-Semites. These vicious, ugly, cowardly, vile, assimilated, self-hating Jews. They are the worst enemies of the Jewish people. The worst. Nobody is worse for Israel than the Kissinger-type Jews. Kissinger and Madeleine Albright and John Kerry. John Kerry isn't even Jewish, because his father, it's the mother, the Jewish mother, that decides if you're Jewish. He's not really Jewish, but he thought of himself as Jewish because of his father's background and did everything he could to hide his Jewish background, until a reporter in Boston discovered it and outed him. Imagine to be embarrassed to be part of God's chosen people, to be embarrassed to be part of a people so great that they are a light unto the nations, a holy nation, nation of priests. That's their ultimate destiny. And to be embarrassed and ashamed and want to destroy this people? You're a part of this great nation and you want to destroy them? I mean, what a sick, depraved, disgusting, evil group of cockroaches these self-hating Jews are. These self-hating Jews, they're lower than human cockroaches. They're like human vansin. Or jukim. In Hebrew, the word for cockroaches are jukim. Vansin is Yiddish. Now, she would be even worse. Kamala Harris would be even worse than Barack Hussein Osama because of her Jew-hating Jewish husband. Disastrous. Disastrous for Israel and for the Jewish people. And right away, they've said that they plan to get right back into that Iran nuclear bomb-making deal. Right away. And by the way, as a result of Iran promoting and pursuing nuclear bombs, as a result of that, all the Arab countries, including the United Arab Emirates and Egypt and Turkey, and Turkey's a Muslim country, but all Muslim countries now, like Turkey, and Arab countries, like Egypt, and Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, are all pursuing a nuclear bomb-making program. because they're responding to the danger of Iran, of a nuclear Iran. This is all because of the cowardly policies. All of this in the end is because of Benjamin Netanyahu's cowardly policies. That filthy, self-hating Judenrat cockroach that you disgusting so-called right-wing Jews love. How stupid can people be? He could, in a matter of hours, destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. Destroy it completely. They're already bombing from within the bunkers. They're bombing and causing great damage to the nuclear facilities from within the bunkers. Why not destroy, why do these inside things? I mean, you already have access to inside the bunkers of these nuclear facilities. You know where every single thing that moves in Iran is. That's how good Israeli intelligence is. And you don't use that to completely destroy the program, which you could do in 6 hours? 6 hours of aerial bombings from the Israeli Air Force, that would finish them off. You bomb them from within, you set off bombs inside their bunkers, and from above, with the Israeli Air Force, with Israeli fighter jets, bomb them. But no! Pepe won't do that. That coward, that wimp, that lowlife, that cockroach. And you can imagine now the combination of having Iran now getting hundreds of billions of dollars to reward the Iranians for their bomb-making program. At least Iran, the economy of Iran, is being severely strained and even crippled by the sanctions that exist now because the Iranian deal was ended under Trump. Which he did too late, too little too late. He also, by the way, can send in the U.S. Air Force and destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, but he's so dumb! That orange clown, that big, fat, ugly orange clown, is so stupid! He thinks the only way you can do anything is if you invade the whole country like George W. Bush did in Iraq, which was very stupid. Who's talking about invading anything? You go in with the Air Force, you bomb them for a few hours, and you finish off their program and you leave! That's how you do it. And the whole world would be relieved and would be grateful if the United States did that, or if Israel did that. That's what Israel did in Iraq to Saddam Hussein's program in 1981 when they were on the verge of building nuclear bombs. And Saddam Hussein promised he was going to use them to, quote, burn all of Israel, unquote. And that's what Israel did to Syria's nuclear bomb-making program in 2006. Can you imagine if Syria, would you see what's going on in Syria today with this civil war, with all the terrorist gangs, over a million Syrian Muslims have been slaughtered by other Syrian Muslims. Slaughtered! Over a million of their own people they've slaughtered. Can you imagine if they had nuclear bombs in their hands? What a danger that would be! Even Ehud Olmert, the leftist prime minister of Israel, destroyed Syria's nuclear bomb-making program. And Menachem Begin, who was another wimp, another one who was a big right-winger, and what a phony, surrendered the entire Sinai, made in his pants when Jimmy Carter told him to surrender the Sinai, and gave the whole Sinai to the Egyptian Nazi dictator Anwar el-Sadat, yimach shemo v'zichro. Even Menachem Begin, at least when there was this nuclear threat, he destroyed the nuclear threat in Iraq. That he did. Pepe won't even do that. And you can imagine, if they're pursuing this nuclear program, and their economy then is rescued by a renewal of the Iran nuclear bomb-making deal that was given to them under Osama, under Barack Hussein Osama and John Kerry. You can imagine if once again they had this program, in full operation, and they had all the benefits of that agreement by Barack Hussein Osama and by John F. and Kerry, JFK, John F. and Kerry. And that's what Kamala Harris will do. If, God forbid, she becomes president in November. Yes, she's the one who would be president, the real president. Remember that. You saw, by the way, their press conference. Joe Biden mumbled a few words. He got out of the old age home with his walker, and he mumbled a few words. and then was, you know, went back to his little seat. And then Kamala Harris made the big speech attacking Trump, and with all the really, you know, blasting away at Trump and everything else, which the media loved. And the danger that this black racist Jew hater with her Judenrat husband would pose to Israel, and you can imagine in Iran with hundreds of billions of dollars, buffeted by hundreds of billions of dollars, they could build dozens of nuclear bombs. And then there'd be complete panic in the Muslim world, and every Muslim nation from Indonesia to Turkey to Morocco would be pursuing nuclear bombs and building nuclear bombs, God forbid. It's the ultimate nightmare for Israel, for America, for the world. A Muslim world with hundreds and hundreds of nuclear bombs and dozens of Muslim countries pursuing nuclear bombs. This is the ultimate nightmare scenario, and this is where we're going. God forbid. And you know, of course, Kamala Harris has pursued the full radical left agenda. She would also push for Israeli national suicide, for a so-called Palestinian state, which means national suicide for Israel, which Pipi Netanyahu has already said that he would accept. Palestinian state, even though there are no Palestinians, there is no Palestine, there's never been a Palestinian people in history, never. There's never been a Palestine in history. All complete fabrication. A complete fabrication. Okay? Palestinian, there's a Palestinian people like what they say, that blacks are the ones who built America. Black people built America. Black people have destroyed the major cities in America. They never built anything. Okay, when they were found in the jungles of Africa, they were wiping their tuchuses, their black tuchuses, with leaves. They never had a written language. They never had anything. They never had any civilization, anything, anything. They used to smear doo-doo all over their bodies to keep the flies off. That was their civilization. That's true black history. Black History Month. And just like that lie and all those myths and lies, Palestinian people, complete lies, complete fabrication. There's never been a Palestinian people or a Palestine. Never. Never existed. But they want to create a so-called Palestinian state, which means Israel will surrender her biblical homeland of Yehuda v'Shomron, of Judea and Samaria. What a catastrophe that would be. That means Israel will go back to borders that are 6 to 9 miles wide, God forbid. That means that Arab terrorists, every Arab terrorist and every Arab terrorist organization, all the Muslim terrorists will be with a stone's throw away from the Israeli airport. They'll paralyze the whole country. The minute Israel has surrendered land, as we saw in Gaza, with Gush Katif, it has only led to more war and more bloodshed and more missiles and more catastrophe in every respect, militarily, economically, socially, in every respect, catastrophe. The surrender of the Sinai to Egypt was a catastrophe. That's why Israel got hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens from Africa and all over the world flooding into Israel, destroying Israeli cities. Egypt, the great friend of Israel, the great peace treaty, they brought Africans in from all over the continent of Africa, all these smelly Schwarze Muslims from all over Africa, and brought them in and sent them through Sinai, through the border, into Israel. If Israel had still had the Sinai, that wouldn't have happened. It couldn't have happened. If the Israeli army was in the Sinai, they wouldn't have been able to travel through Sinai to get into Israel. And that's just one out of a million things that Israel lost with the Sinai surrender. Every surrender that Israel has made, every concession Israel has made, has always led to more war, more terror, more bloodshed, more catastrophe, and more punishment. This is the most important thing. Punishment from Hashem, from God. Because that land was given to the Jews by God. And it is a terrible chilul Hashem, a desecration of God's name, to surrender even 1 centimeter, even 1 millimeter, even one grain of sand of the Holy Land of Israel to anyone other than the Jewish people, especially not to these Amalekite Arab Muslim Nazis who are sworn to destroy the Jewish state. And Kamala Harris, as president, Donald Trump is doing it also. Donald Trump and that other traitor, that other Judenrat capo piece of subhuman garbage, Jared Kushner, okay, with his shiksa wife. His wife is not Jewish, okay? She didn't really convert. What a phony thing that was. Kamala Harris, Donald Trump is pursuing it, but thankfully Donald Trump is too dumb, is so dumb, he doesn't know how to pursue a Palestinian state. There's a danger from him too. There's a danger because Benjamin Netanyahu is the one that actually wants Israel to surrender. He wants to get a deal to save himself from going to prison in Israel. He figures if he gets a deal, that'll persuade the left-wing prosecutors and left-wing judges in Israel not to put him in prison because he's a corrupt, he's a thieving, low-life scoundrel. And so to save his tuchus, he'll give up all of Judea, and so he'll give up the whole land. He'll give up Jerusalem. He would stab his own mother in the back to get out of prison. And so there's a danger even under Trump. But the danger is magnified many times over if you have someone like Kamala Harris in the White House. And everybody will be afraid to criticize her, and everybody will be afraid to go against her, because if you go against her, you're a racist. It's racist to go. It's not racist that she and the other black politicians in this country support Louis Farrakhan. That's not racist. She and the other black politicians in this country support the Nazi Black Lives Matter movement that call openly for the destruction of Israel in their charter. That's not racist. For them to call for the destruction, imagine if we had a charter and we said we want all African, black African states to be wiped off the face of the earth and destroyed. That's what Black Lives Matter and all these Schwarzes and Arabs and Muslims, that's what they demand, that the sole homeland and state for the Jewish people be wiped off the face of the earth and destroyed. And Kamala Harris supports that agenda. Her and her self-hating Judenrat, ugly, ugly, ugly so-called husband. And of course, on every other issue, she's a catastrophe. A catastrophe. I mean, you know, our main issue, the main issue should be Israel. That should be the number one concern for every Jew. In addition to that, for Jews and for Gentiles, her positions on every issue are so terrible. It's such a nightmare. It's the United States, as we know it, may end in this November election. This may be the end. May be all over. She wants open borders. She's against any enforcement of rules on the border. She wants open borders. She wants to invite tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people from the third world to come marching into the United States and take over the United States. What will America look like when you have an overwhelming majority of people from Africa and all these third world countries marching into the United States? What will America look like then? America's already 40% non-white. What will America look like when they march in and take over and become the overwhelming majority? It'll look like Detroit. Or it'll look like some of the other big cities where they have taken over. And that's, let me tell you, when the whole country is like that, it won't be like Detroit. It'll be a lot worse than Detroit, because the only thing that keeps Detroit going in any way is the fact that Detroit is surrounded by all those white tax-paying suburbs that subsidize Detroit. But if they weren't around, Detroit would be a jungle like Zaire, or Zambia, or Zaire, or Togoland, or the Congo. And that is what America will look like. Look at them. They want to defund the police. They don't want there to be police. They want to be able to have a license to murder, rob, rape, burglarize, do drugs, push drugs, do everything they want, go and sell drugs to children, do all the other things they like to do. They don't want the police. They don't want any police around. Because when the police come and arrest us for doing our thing, for doing our business, for taking care of business, we just be taking care of business. And when the police come and arrest us for taking care of business, that is racist. It's racist when the police come. The police have no right to arrest us. We can do anything we want. It's reparations. Black Lives Matter already saying that the stealing and looting in stores that took place, so many millions of dollars worth of merchandise was stolen. Supposedly to protest the killing, they say the killing, the death of George Floyd, that other criminal, that other drug-dealing, drug-pushing criminal who deserved what he got. He was a drug-pushing criminal, a violent, drug-pushing, vicious criminal. And they went to stores and they're stealing all this merchandise from these stores. And now Black Lives Matter says, that's reparations. We need that reparation. We gotta be reparated. We gotta be reparated for all you, for what y'all did to us when we were slaves. Slaves. The best thing that ever happened to you was when you were brought here as slaves. You still want to be swinging from trees in the jungles of Africa? You'd rather live there? By the way, you're free to go. If Africa's so wonderful and was so terrible that you were brought here, you're free to go. If this is such a racist country, go to Africa. Believe me, you won't be missed. So she supports, Kamala Harris supports complete open borders, supports the complete Black Lives Matter agenda of destroying America, completely destroying America. I don't have to tell you what the crime situation is going to look like with the police defunded and all the other things that they're going to do to tear down the criminal justice system and the police system and the prison system. And this country will be a jungle, a jungle. You won't be able to go out on the street. Your children will not be safe going to school. Elderly people will not be safe going anywhere. You won't be able to protect yourself with weapons because they want to take your guns away. They want to seize your guns and take your guns away, so the only people who have guns will be black criminals. And then she, and by the way, all of this in Portland, Oregon, that's already happening. And it's starting to happen in places like New York City. This is in Baltimore and Detroit. It's already happening. This is nothing. You put this on a federal level with a president backing these insane policies, it's all over. It's all over. And she supports the Green New Deal. By the way, they say that Kamala Harris is a moderate. She's a moderate? She's a middle-of-the-road moderate. She is the most radical left candidate any party has ever nominated. She's a moderate. She supports the Green New Deal, which will outlaw, basically outlaw, most major forms of energy production in this country. That's a moderate? The United States finally became energy independent. Now we're going to be completely, slavishly dependent upon Muslim oil-producing countries if we stop all oil production and stop all fracking, which Kamala Harris supports doing, and stop all drilling and all exploration, everything else. That's the end. Natural gas for oil. She's gonna and of course she wants to outlaw coal. That's gonna cripple the energy industry and cripple America's economy, and make America completely slavishly dependent to the Muslim oil producing countries. The Muslims will control America, completely control America, if that happens. And America's economy will collapse if that happens. That will lead to a Great Depression. Communism and socialism, which is what Kamala Harris supports, does not work. Okay? The Democrat Party and Kamala Harris, they are backing socialism and communism. It has never worked anywhere in history, in any country. Never worked, never will. Never will. It goes against human nature, and it goes against all the laws of economics and the laws of human behavior. You cannot build an economy on that. And so we're in for quite a nightmare here. And Donald Trump is a terrible president. A horrible president. We did hundreds of videos and got millions of views in 2016 urging people to support Ted Cruz instead of Donald Trump. But you brain-dead people voted for Trump over Cruz in the Republican primaries. And now you have Trump as president, which was a disaster. Trump is bringing us Kamala Harris because he's so incompetent and so stupid. He's bringing us Kamala Harris. Instead of attacking with a clear, disciplined attack line, which is what he should be, they should be just very disciplined campaign of just zeroing in on what Kamala Harris has said and what Kamala Harris stands for, her radical left positions. That's the way you can win in November. That's the only way they can win. And the Republican National Committee is trying to do that, and the Republican Party is trying to do that. They are trying to do that because they are political professionals and political consultants, and that they're right about. You've got to zero in and focus clearly, because if you have a scatterbrained approach, because Donald Trump is the ultimate scatterbrain, and if you say things, you attack her from all different directions on all types of nonsense, saying she's nasty. If you say she's nasty, the headline is going to be, Trump says she's nasty. People are not going to vote for you because you said that your opponent is nasty. People are not going to vote for you because you said other things about your opponent that are irrelevant nonsense that Trump attacks on. You have to focus on issues that will scare the hell out of the American people, because the American people are very unhappy. And when they're unhappy, they take it out on the president. And Trump doesn't understand that. He's not a disciplined campaigner. By the way, Vice President Mike Pence, even though he's dull, he is a disciplined campaigner. He is focusing on the right issues, and he is attacking in a disciplined way. He's doing what you're supposed to do, Vice President Mike Pence. Trump doesn't even know how to... The word discipline is not part of his vocabulary. And you can't win with an undisciplined campaign. You can't, because the media will take what they want. If you attack in three or four different areas, the media will take your weakest attack line and use that and publicize only that and ignore everything else that you said. That's why you have to have one attack line, so the media can't quote you on anything else. Just one continuous attack line over and over again, like Ronald Reagan did to Jimmy Carter. That's what you have to do. George W. Bush did it to Al Gore. Even George W. Bush, who was a moron, even that moron, he was disciplined, though. He listened to his consultants, he was disciplined in the campaign, and he won. He did the same thing against John Kerry. He won because he was disciplined. He did what they told him to do and only made the speeches and made the statements that that the campaign wanted to get out, the message they wanted to get out. If you say other things other than that message, the media is going to grab those other things and ignore your main message. And so your message never gets out. And the American people will never even hear your main argument. That's what happens with Donald Trump. That's what happens when you have a scatterbrained retard, orange retard as president. But that's what you wanted. You didn't want a very disciplined, great orator and great debater like Ted Cruz. That you didn't want. No. I hate Donald Trump. I despise him. I despise him. I hate him. I hate Jared Kushner and his nasty family. I hate him and his whole administration. They're evil, undisciplined, immoral people. And by the way, they'd sacrifice Israel in 2 seconds just to show what a great deal maker he is. He would make a deal that would be Israeli suicide. In 2 seconds he would do that. He would gladly do that. He's no friend of Israel or the Jewish people, never was, never will be. And nothing he's done has been good for Israel. Moving the embassy to Jerusalem. Complete joke. Moving the embassy to Jerusalem, but he still wants to divide Jerusalem and still says Jews aren't allowed to live there. I mean, it's so phony. And you Jews are so hopelessly, hopelessly blind and brain dead. You so desperately want the love of the Goyim. And so desperately want to pretend we have support from other people. And so desperately want someone to support. That you ignore everything. You ignore all the facts. When you had someone who was good like Ted Cruz, you didn't want him. Sick people, sick, sick people. Now, we had this treaty with Israel and the United Arab Emirates, this week. Catastrophe for Israel. Catastrophe for Israel. Israel agrees, basically agrees to continue the freeze on building in Judea and Samaria, and not to declare sovereignty in Judea and Samaria, which Pippi never intended to do. The whole thing was always a bluff. Pippi is so relieved that he now has an excuse not to do it. All a lie, all a bluff. And you know, that liar Pippi, he continued to tell the Likud people and the right-wing people in Israel, no, I haven't given up on that, we're just postponing. He's postponing it again. Yeah, he's been postponing it. He's been postponing it for the past 40 years. He's been postponing things. He's postponing it again. He's not postponing anything. Trump himself said honestly, no, it's off the table. That's it. That's over. He's not going to declare sovereignty in Judea and Samaria. He's such a bluff and such a fraud, Pippi. Not a word out of his mouth is ever true. Not a promise he makes is ever kept, unless he promises something to our enemies. Promises to our enemies, he keeps every last detail. Promises to the Jewish people, never keeps a single promise. Never. Unless when he promises to do something bad, that's true of all the Israeli politicians. When they promise to do something bad, you can bet on it, they'll keep their word. When they promise to do something good, they never keep their promise. Everything upside down in this world. That's the generation we live in. They call light darkness and darkness light, good evil and evil good. That's what the prophet, that's what the Nevi'im, that's what the prophets told us in the Bible would happen in this generation. And it's happening. This, the United Arab Emirates funds hundreds of Muslim and Arab terrorist and propaganda organizations, all of whom openly work for the destruction of Israel and call for the destruction of Israel. Openly. The United Arab Emirates just announced a couple of weeks ago that they have now built an active nuclear reactor. They are actively pursuing nuclear bombs. They want to build nuclear bombs. And so this treaty and the fact that they're cozying up and pretending to be with Israel now, this is their cover so that they'll be able to go nuclear. God forbid. And that's the, and then the Arab world goes nuclear and we're in a lot of trouble. This is the ultimate nightmare. We are forbidden to make treaties with foreign nations. The prophets in the Bible warned us, and the whole theme of the Bible, if you read the book of Kings or Samuel, Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Bet, there isn't really Aleph and Bet, that's a Christian thing, they divided it up, but you read the book of Samuel, the book of Kings, the book of Judges. The whole theme is, don't trust the nations and make treaties and covenants with the nations. Do what God commands you to do and believe in God. That doesn't mean you have to have a strong army and you have to fight and you have to be fighters and you have to have a strong army, but trust in God. Israel was meant to be alone and to trust in God. Israel was meant to win alone. That's how you win. When Israel went alone in the 1948 War of Independence and ignored American pressure not to declare a Jewish state, Israel won a miraculous victory. In 1967, the United States threatened Israel, and the whole world threatened Israel. France cut off all arms shipments to Israel. The Soviets threatened Israel. The UN came in. Everyone warned Israel not to strike first in the 1967 Six-Day War. Israel ignored the world, struck, and in 6 days quadrupled in size. Israel's miraculous victories depend upon Israel going alone, doing it alone and depending on God. Because when Israel goes alone, this is the role of Israel. This is when Israel can be a light unto the nations and a holy nation, nation of priests. If Israel has treaties with other countries, that diminishes the miracle. Then people say, oh, Israel won because of U.S. foreign aid, or Israel won because of her treaty with the United States, or Israel won, if not the United States, and what your connection to the United States, your connection to this, your connection to that. If not for that, you never would have won. This is what, you are not allowed to do that. Israel must show that we can go alone and we'll win miraculous, breathtaking victories. That's the challenge. That is what all the kings were ordered to do in ancient times. Not to lean on the broken reed of Egypt. Ancient Egypt was the United States of those days. And Israel was warned not to depend on Egypt and sign treaties with Egypt and make agreements with Egypt. It was the ancient Jews who invited the Romans into Israel to eventually destroy Israel. It was the ancient Jews who invited the Greeks into Israel. And they, for hundreds of years, brought destruction, assimilation, and horrors upon Israel. The Jews themselves did these terrible things because they're so anxious to make treaties and make agreements and go on the lawn of the White House and they shake hands and they're so anxious to do this. This is a mental illness among the Jews. This desire to win the approval and the love of the Goyim. This is a mental illness. I got news for you. When Israel does go alone and wins miraculous victories like in 1967, that's the only time you ever got real respect from the Goyim. The Goyim respected you then. In 1967, even the Jew-hating media was pro-Israel. The whole world couldn't help but respect Israel in that miraculous time. But if you're going to go around begging nations for treaties and signing treaties with the United Arab Emirates while they're building nuclear bombs and while they're funding every Jew-hating, Jew-killing organization in the world, and saying that, oh, now Muslims from all over the world can come and pray at the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, which is Har HaBayit, which is the Temple Mount, our Temple Mount. Jews are not allowed to pray there. But Muslims are being invited now from all over the world, Muslim Nazis, to come and pray. This is what Pepe just signed. What a chilul Hashem, what a desecration of God's name. And the Jews are thrilled. They're thrilled. What an achievement. Oh, how we need our beloved leader. Harav Meir David Kahana Zecher Tzadik VeKadosh Livracha Hashem Yikom Damo. May his name be immortalized and may his blood be avenged. Our beloved leader. He was the one leader who told us the truth. He was murdered 30 years ago by Al-Qaeda. He was the first terrorist attack of Al-Qaeda. They knew they had to get him out of the way before they started their terrorist attacks. He was the one voice of truth. Oh, how we need him now more than ever. I want to go on and on, but our time has run out for this program, for this week. In Hebrew, we're bringing this message to the Jews of Israel. That's the most important thing we could do now in this generation. We have an advertising campaign, Baruch Hashem, thank God, 20 to 30,000. It is this lately. It's been 20 to 30. I've been throwing these numbers because it's hard to figure out. Sometime today, for instance, it was only 2,000 people saw our videos. But generally, this week it was 3,000 every day. And so on a weekly basis, that comes to 20,000 plus a week. It's not enough, and it's only seeing a brief video that urges Jews to wake up and understand the danger from Iran, from U.S. so-called foreign aid, and from our need to be independent, and so on and so forth. All the issues that we cover on the show, we cover briefly in the videos that we're advertising, the six videos we're advertising in Israel. But at least someone's bringing a message of truth to the Jews of Israel. That's what we're trying to do. That's what JTF does. And when you help JTF, that's what you're helping. And in English, on these programs, we're going to try to bring the truth in English as much as we can as well, although our entire budget, as far as money, as far as expenditure of money, that goes only to advertising in Israel and to our Hebrew videos. And so, that's where we stand now. We're going to continue fighting for the truth. And because this has been such a, you know, it's been a video with a lot of alarming, potentially alarming news, let me again end off on a bright note. In the end, the good guys are going to win. The prophets said all the things we see happening, everything was predicted. Everything is going to happen. Because the Jews won't be Am Levadad Yishkon Uvagoyim Lo Yitchashav, because the Jews won't be a nation that shall dwell alone and not be reckoned among the nations. They refuse to do that. That's their destiny. That's what they have to do in order to be a light unto the nations, in order to be a holy nation, in order to be a nation of priests, in order to prove to the nations of the world that God is the king of the world and decides all human destiny. The only way they could do that is if they don't have U.S. foreign aid and don't sign treaties and don't go running after... Netanyahu was panting with excitement because he said that Israel may soon have relations again with Zimbabwe. I mean, we need relations with these monkeys. What a joke. What a joke. And of course, when Israel has diplomatic relations with these countries, what does it mean? It means the Jews, the Jewish scientists and Jewish brains all go there to help them. And they get nothing, all they get is a kick in the face. The same thing we got in the civil rights movement. Right? Marching and fighting, and Schwerner and Goodman, two Jewish kids, were murdered in Mississippi trying to register blacks to vote. Sacrificed. Jews gave their lives for the black civil rights movement, and they got the worst black Nazi Jew hatred imaginable. The black Nazis are the worst Jew haters in America. That's the gratitude they got. And the same thing happens with everything PP does in Africa and around the world. The same story. But eventually, the prophets promise us, the Jews will wake up. Something will happen and the Jews will wake up. And there will be salvation. And that will lead to the whole situation and the whole world turning around eventually. It's going to happen. Just like the miraculous rebirth of Israel. If I told you this 100 years ago, 200 years ago, you would have said I was crazy. Everything that's happened with Israel, all miraculous things. Just like that happened, and all the fulfillment, the prophecies, 10 of ye shall chase 1,000 of them, 100 of ye shall put 10,000 of them to flight, the desert shall bloom like a garden. I mean, all these things that have miraculously occurred, you know, there's no question that what God promises will always come true. And it'll also come true that someday, just remember, don't lose hope, because someday the good guys are going to win. I just hope that it's not after tremendous suffering and pain and terror and horrible destruction that we may face before then. I hope we can do it without the destruction and the pain and the bloodshed and the suffering and millions of dead people and terrible things happening. I hope we can do it without that. It's going to come one way or the other, the redemption. The redemption of the world is going to come one way or the other. Salvation of the world is going to come one way or the other. But it can come through terrible pain and the worst nightmarish realities. Or it can come gloriously, majestically, and quickly. How it comes is up to us. That's why we're there, to try to bring a message of truth to the people of Israel. That's what JTF is doing. That's what hopefully all of us as Jews and righteous Gentiles will set out to do. Because if we work together as a team, we can make this a better world and we can change history. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.